Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's October 9th, 2025. You are listening to The Fan. At 3 o'clock, we've got pro football legend Ed McCaffrey on the show. Of course, in D.C., he's now known, Danny, as Lukestad. Luke McCaffrey, the Washington Commanders, who's breaking out at receiver. His pops was a heck of a receiver in Denver.
Yes, he was.
He will be on the show to talk ball with us, talk about Luke's emergence, and at 4 o'clock, we've got tickets for you to go see My Chemical Romance over at Nationals Park. But we're very, very excited today because in studio with us here in our first hour is the new president of baseball operations. Speaking of Nationals Park, it's his domain. He's like Simba's dad looking out over the whole kingdom now. Nats Park is
everything the light touches.
His to run. Paul Taboni is in studio with us, the new president of baseball ops for the Washington Nationals on Grant and Danny. Paul, thank you for the time. We appreciate you. Welcome in studio. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Appreciate you having me on here. Thanks for having me on.
What's been the hardest part kind of getting going here? Is it moving the family? Is it meeting with everybody? Is it figuring out what stays, what goes? Like, what's been the biggest challenge?
I think you hit on one of them, right? The family piece of it. I haven't spent much time around my family lately, unfortunately. But I think the other part is just, I think there's this desire to, build it in a day. And when you're doing, things like this, it's great and everything, but you're constantly thinking like, gosh, we got some rocks to move. And you just have to remind yourself that it's going to take a little bit of time. So
to that point, you've had the distractions of whether it's interviews like this one or all the other things that you're doing just to introduce yourself, familiarize yourself with everyone. You got a lot of people to meet. How do you feel like the process is going so far? And I'm sure you're looking forward to it, but when do you just get to the baseball part where everything else kind of falls to the side?
It's coming. Like, I feel like it's a little bit of a slow drip. Like, you just today, like, for the first time, I felt like I was getting into it a little bit. But I think you hit the nail on the head, like, just meeting people, media members, and obviously folks in the front office throughout the organization. That's taken up a good amount of my time over the course of the first week or so. So I think with every day that passes, I'll probably be dealing with more and more baseball stuff.
So this is obviously not professional sports, but years ago in a real person job, not like this, what we do now, but I had a new boss who came in and I always remember kind of the tenor of what she said in her first meeting. One thing I will not accept is this is how we've always done it. Now, if it's a best practice and we figure that out, great, we'll keep it. But the point is, we're not just going to do things because that's the way it was done here. But it also doesn't mean we're going to throw everything out. So the next few weeks are going to stink as we really self-scout, so to speak, and evaluate. I imagine that process is pretty similar for you. How hard is it to resist the temptation to go, I'm here because everything didn't go great and I want to fix it, but maybe there's some parts of it that were good? How do you weigh those decisions, and how hard is that?
That was actually one of the first things I said to the group, front office group, and a lot of the individual conversations I had with, whether it's player development staff or scouting staff or R&D staff, like, whoever it was, hey, I get it. Like, a lot of the narrative out here is like, what do you want to change, right? And that's true. Like, there are going to be some things that we change, right? But question I followed up on pretty quickly is like, what are the great things that we want to preserve too, right? And it's going to take me a while, I think, to figure out exactly what those things are within this organization. But leading in on folks that I've met in the early going that can point at what some of those things are is extremely beneficial.
So give us an idea of that. And Paul Taboni, the president, baseball ops for the Nats, is on Grant and Danny. So is that Zooms? Because I imagine people in the offseason are all over the country, or do they all fly in and Did you have some big meeting in an assembly somewhere I don't know about at Nats Park? Like, were you guys sitting in Section 217? Like, what were those meetings like, and where were they?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been moving a little too quick to have people flying in. I think ideally, at some point in time, would love to have the whole group fly in. But it's been moving so quickly that I think, it's been largely phone calls. And then for the folks that are working out of D.C., just meeting with them one-on-one, meeting with them in group settings, that sort of thing.
And so yesterday was a pretty significant day, at least publicly. We find out about some of the restructuring, some of the people that are out. Are those decisions just solo yours that you're making, or are you leaning on other people, whether it's external, internal, to help inform who stays and who goes? How's that going right now?
Yeah, and you know, they're my decision. Like, and I own the decisions, obviously. I think what you want to balance, right, is doing what you think is best for the organization, especially, you know, with the thought of where we want to go in mind, right? While also having the utmost care and respect and empathy when you have some of those conversations. It's obviously, a really difficult day for folks that have been with this organization for some time. And I think, like, you know, it's maybe lost in it all, right? But you can have those really tough conversations and make those really tough decisions, but also carry yourself with a lot of compassion and empathy, like I said.
And to Danny's point, there are good people and there are good things happening. I wonder, like, the importance of continuity, not just because you're finding this is a guy that if he gets away could be a GM in 6 years somewhere else, but also just institutional knowledge. Like, if you clean house and just have a bunch of really smart people from Boston and the athletics organization come in here or wherever, who's going to be able to tap into what's good and what's bad? So what's that balance like for you?
Yeah, honestly, I think it circles back to what I said at the start of this, which is we want to preserve what we do really well, right? And we also want to preserve a lot of the institutional knowledge, as you said, Grant. Like, we want to preserve a lot of that, while also, you know, you don't really know what great looks like, so to speak, unless maybe you've seen it. And that's not to say that I've necessarily seen it, but I also have a different perspective coming from the Red Sox organization, but not just working for the Red Sox organization. It's almost like I've worked for four or five different organizations, because I worked under Ben Sherrington, who's now with Pittsburgh. I worked under Dave Nebrowski, who's now with Philly. I worked under Chaim Bloom, who's and Brian O'Halloran, who Chaim is now with St. Louis. I worked under Brez, who was with Chicago, so with the Cubs. So it's almost as if I've worked for four or five different organizations. And so you're able to take, you know, the perspective gained from all those conversations I've had with those folks that I've worked under and try and fold it into what we're doing here.
What was the allure of this job, this position, this city, this market, this team that made you say, this is the right decision for me?
I think it starts with the city, to be honest. Like, I said it in the presser, after the presser, my wife and I had a lot of conversation around the fact that, you know, if we were going to jump at a job like this, it was going to have to be in the right spot. And candidly, like, we had eliminated, a large part of Major League Baseball teams. And
let's name them all.
Yeah, exactly.
And who turned you off in each one? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, a lot of that circled back to this city and, how passionate the fan base is. I talked about it in the presser, but how deeply sports are woven into the fabric of this community. I caught a lot of heat for naming Georgetown hoops and Howard hoops and not naming Maryland hoops and American hoops. I had a great buddy that played at American.
Georgetown season ticket holder, I was fine with the list. I will tell you.
GW hoops also. Just if someone went there, it'd be fun.
And then also referencing DeMatha, but not Gonzaga and some of these other schools.
You're
but
a basketball mark, though. I could tell. Like, you love hoops.
Yeah, I love it.
So do you watch the NBA pretty religiously still, or do you even have time to do that in baseball season?
Up until probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I watched a ton of NBA games. 5 or 6 years ago, the job and just life in general got in the way of it. So now I don't follow it as closely as I would have liked, but as you've probably guessed, I'm a sucker for, you know, prep sports and college sports and all that. So
as you kind of go through this process in terms of, you know, decision making and things, what a lot of Nats fans want to know, because they just went through the last 6 years that you didn't. I mean, you weren't here, not your fault, but they want to know how long whatever this is going to take. Like, that's the question that comes up for everybody. And when we say on the radio, we're like, hey, patience, this makes sense. We're going to start a new stamp and a new organization almost. You're turning things over. The last round of rebuild, whatever you want to call it, didn't come to fruition. How long do you think this process takes before you go, this is a Paul Toboni, this is what I want. I want it like this.
I'll give you the same answer that I gave ownership, right? Which is, I don't know. And anyone that tells you they know is lying straight to your face, right? So We're not going to be concerned with that. You know, I once again, I said it the other day, like what we're going to be concerned with is just making really good decisions day after day after day. And then, you know, we'll look up whether it's, you know, whatever, 18 months or 24 months or 3 years or 4 years, whatever it is, like we'll look up and I think it'll be clear to fans along the way that we're trending in the right direction. And I'm telling you, like when it's really time to push the chips in, I think it'll be incredibly obvious to the whole fan base.
Which makes a lot of sense. I guess specific to this offseason, though, do you already know or what's going to inform the decision? The Reds just kind of accidentally made the playoffs at about 500, right? It wouldn't be that crazy for you guys to make a couple of moves with your core and possibly be 500. Is it an offseason where you try to do that? Or is this a situation where you look at this and you go, we got to build this thing for 3 years from now and start again? Like, how do you make that decision and when will you?
Yeah, we'll stay open-minded. And honestly, I think a lot of that is like what the market will bring you, right? And what opportunities you have. Having said that, what we want to guard against is putting in the windows and the doors before the foundation is strong, right? Like you look at a lot of these organizations across the league, some of the best organizations that even come from small markets, right? And they've been patient and they've been really disciplined and they've built these really, really strong foundations that have played a large part in allowing them to have sustainable runs, you know, at the big league level. So that's what we want to do. And, you know, I like I said, I think it requires patience and discipline. And we want to balance that with you know, creating a winning culture and actually competing. That's our goal, and I'm looking forward to it.
So this would be an oversimplified question, but in terms of the kind of player that you value, just thinking of something, you know, basic that a regular fan might be able to pick apart, you go, hey, that guy can steal 50 bases or that guy can hit 30 homers. You know what I mean? Like those sorts of attributes and things, is there a style that you'd prefer, or is it kind of wherever the market dictates, or it's just we're going to build according to that foundation that you just talked about and then sort of supplement accordingly? Like if you had your druthers, would you build a team that's great on defense? Would you build a team that could fly? Would you build a team that hits bombs?
Yeah.
Yes to all those?
Yeah, I'll take all of it. You know, I think like what we want to be careful of is pigeonholing ourselves where we say like, man, we want super athletic, up the middle type players that steal a ton of bags. And then you're looking at Ryan Zimmerman like, oh, we're not going to go after that guy, right? So like we want to balance those all those things. And you know, we want to come onto value like wherever it might be. You know, what I think will stay constant through our whole roster, hopefully, is that we want folks with winning attitudes, right, that can hold themselves accountable and hold others in the clubhouse accountable. Like that has to be the constant throughout the roster, whether you're a guy stealing bags or a guy hitting homers or a guy, you know, that walks a ton, whatever it might be. Like you got to bring that winning culture, or you got to add to that winning culture in the clubhouse.
Paul Taboni, president of baseball ops with the Nats. Makes sense, because that was always to me like the shortcoming with Moneyball or whatever is like, why shrink your talent pool? You know, why not take the best high schooler in America? If Mike Trout's staring you in the face at 25, if you're the Angels, if you're just hunting for the college guy that gets on base or what have you. What have you learned in your dive into the analytics department right now and the technology and kind of where this org is compared to where you're coming from? We've seen so many players leave, guys that I keep in touch with and talk with either, you know, just off the record or even just guys that have publicly come out and said things about, you won't believe how different what they have here is or how I'm coached here. All of a sudden, Kyle Finnegan is throwing only, you know, his splitter constantly. Like, what are you finding when you take the hood up and look underneath right now on what's available?
Yeah, so I haven't had the opportunity to really take the...
So we have not opened the hood yet.
Yeah, we haven't opened the hood. But what I will say is, like, I talk about preserving some of the great things in the organization. I think we have a lot of great people in this organization. And a lot of really smart people, especially in R&D, right, that are going to be able to really, really, really help move the ball forward in the coming months and years.
You mentioned R&D. I think a lot of us, I don't want to speak for every listener, but I know on this show, we're giddy about the possibilities of the analytics and research and development. I'm curious, just to get your insight on this, what does a really good scout look like in 2025? And how has that changed from 20 years ago where, you know, you got the cheeseburger wrappers in the back seat and you're going ballpark to ballpark? Like you might still have the cheeseburger wrappers in the back seat, hopefully. They're delicious.
They are good.
Like, what is the difference of a really good scout now compared to then?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard me talk about it in the presser regarding like the coaches that like understand the art of coaching, but also understand like technically how to really get players better, right? I'd almost draw the same parallel to scouts, right? It's like what you just mentioned, the picture that you just painted of that type scout, like that's a huge asset. I think what you're getting at is experience, right? And they've been around the game a ton. Those are all really positive things, right? What we also want, though, is folks that are open-minded, and as the game has changed, they've really worked hard to stay with the times, and that's on us, too, right, to really pour ourselves into educating scouts on, hey, this is how the game has changed, this is what we're going to value, so on and so forth. But to me, a lot of it circles back to the expectations that we set for our scouts, right? Hey, this is what we're looking for when we evaluate. This is how we're going to evaluate it, right? And then ultimately, like the accountability on their end to hold themselves to those expectations, right? So that can come in different shapes and sizes. But at the end of the day, I think it just circles back to quality of person and worker you are. You know, we've talked about getting over yourself and putting the team before yourself, right? A lot of it circles back to that and your willingness to do so.
When it comes to players that are here, what's your timetable for going, okay, now I've got a good feel on who each guy is, right? I mean, you're in baseball, so obviously you know the names and you know that you can look up any stat that you want. But how long do you think it's going to take you to go, okay, this is what we've got, so now maybe we know this is what we need?
Unfortunately, I think it's going to take a little bit of time,
yeah.
Right? And I don't think you can really truly understand a person until you've spent a lot of hours around them, right? And you know, with some of our players living outside of DC, the majority of them living outside of DC in the off season, I'll travel to go meet with a lot of them. But even then, like, I don't think we're going to really know, or I'm going to really know until we get halfway through next year. And I've spent countless hours around them. I've seen them work, all those type things. So. That doesn't mean I'm not going to try, right? What I got to be intentional about is balancing that with, you know, everything else that's being thrown my way in this role.
So forgive my ignorance of this question, because I don't actually know how this works. So I understand you come in and from a very macro level, you go, this is how we're going to scout and develop, and this is our core principles. Do you rebuild everything like to a micro level where, like, this is how I want a report written, and this is how we're going to write the report and use the report? Or is it not to that extent? Does my question make sense?
Yeah. How I would think about it is, like, you want to take like a, you know, really zoomed out view, right? And then, like, as time goes on, you can get more granular with your expectations, right? So at a really high level, right, like, this is what we value from a offensive standpoint, right? Maybe a year from now, it's like, hey, this is how we're going to evaluate contact skills, right? Or whatever it is. But the goal is that with every passing month, we're introducing something new where when we look up, whether it's 6 months, 12 months, 18 months down the line, hopefully our scouts, coaches, whoever it might be, will look back at today's date and say, wow, I am such a better scout or coach or analyst after all this time because of the amount of support and education that's been poured into me.
And then just to double click on that. So, like, as an example, you're talking about offensive philosophy. Is that, like, we're looking bat to ball, you know, like when they went, you know, Willett's over Holiday at the top of the draft or whatever. It's a staying at shortstop. There's other things, but bat the ball over, maybe a little swing and miss in power. Or are you talking like a philosophy is hitting the ball in the air versus on the ground? Seeing as many pitches as possible, just grinding through? Because frankly, like, I don't know what the offensive philosophy has been here the last couple of years. You can't really watch a Nats game and go, oh, I know what their plan is offensively. Like, that didn't really exist to me.
Yeah. So great question. And to me, like, it should be derived from, like, what drives value in the big leagues, right?
Okay.
And I know that's kind of like a very basic way to put it, right? But what we don't want to do is, like, just go after the bat to ball guy, and then you look up and we've eliminated James Wood as an amateur who's a stud, right? So you know, what we want to do is be open-minded to the profiles that we're bringing in. And you look at all these teams, like, that are in the playoffs now, like, you know, most all of them have guys that swing and miss a good amount and also guys that make a lot of contact, right? So well, that'll be front of mind for us. But then the second part of your question, I think it's important to know that, like, on the amateur side, I think we have to have a pretty darn good idea of the traits that we want to select on that we're not as comfortable developing, right? And then the traits that, hey, you know, we think we can develop these traits, and if we just get this, like, chassis, so to speak, into the system, right, then we can build on the different parts with all the tools and folks that we have in player development that are really good at their jobs.
That's fascinating. So, like, Connelly Early from Boston, right? So if people don't know, you guys draft him in the fifth round at a UVA, and you guys turn him into really quickly this legit prospect who's helping in the big leagues and pitching in the playoffs way before anyone thought he was going to be helpful. He's not the example necessarily, but I guess the point is, if there's something that you knew, we can find 2 miles an hour, but we're not as good at developing this, like, that might inform – why a player like that's more interesting? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, so Connolly is a great example, right? Like he's at UVA. He started out at West Point, actually, and then moved to UVA, threw a ton of strikes, right? Like had a really good field of pitch from a young age. Velo was not great. He would tell you that himself, right? And we thought there was a lot of juice to squeeze, so to speak, on the design of his pitches, right? And so you look up, it's been a couple years now, right? And his velo's way up, right? And his pitch mix has completely changed, right? And, you know, it's easy to look at it now like, oh, wow, this guy's made this great transformation. But really what it was is like you're taking, you know, bite-sized pieces out of the apple and you set out these development goals for Connolly, call it in the first 3 months, right? And then you achieve that. And then you move on to the next one, achieve that, move on to the next one, you achieve that. And then before you know it, he's got five pitches and he's sitting, whatever, 93, 94, 95. And he's a different animal than he was at UVA.
And now he looks nothing like a fifth round pick.
You know, yeah, right. Not anymore. Yeah.
How that he's different than he was then.
Indeed. What was your impression outside looking in of the talent that's already here, that's under contract, some of the young building blocks?
It's what I told a lot of these guys over the phone and over text, which is, I think we have a number of young players that are already really good, right? But I'm hoping that there's another gear in them. And when I look at them, I feel that. I genuinely feel that. So that's without me really getting to know a lot of them as people. I knew a lot of them as amateur players. But I'm excited about the potential that these guys have left. And I think it's worth acknowledging, like, you know, that I think really highly of them now. But I think it's even more worth acknowledging, like, I think their futures are even brighter.
It seems to me like I've talked to a couple of the guys from Boston System who like know you very well and think of you as a friend and whatnot. Maybe your role was different then than it is now, and so this will change. But it seems like you do have really good relationships with players as a team president. Can you still kind of maintain that, or you kind of work with the staff and the manager? And how does that work?
No, that's right up my alley. It's what I love doing, and selfishly, like it's probably the most gratifying part of working in baseball. Like I forget about it making us better. Like I just love doing it. So. Yeah, any of those guys were, you know, just because you brought it up, whether it's Roman or Connolly or Peyton or even guys we've traded, Kyle Teal or Chase Beideroth, I say we, the Red Sox have traded. You know, I still stay in touch with them. I think it's a great thing. And, you know, I mean it, you know, when either I'm leaving the Red Sox organization or we trade a player, if they ever want to use me as a resource going forward, I'm there to help them. Like just because I've moved on to a different organization or they have, like that doesn't mean that the relationship stops. Like I want to be able to look up when I'm, you know, 85 years old and you know, maybe retired, maybe not retired, you know, look back on those relationships and still be able to call those guys not all that dissimilar from, you know, a college hoops coach or something.
Paul Toboni is with us in studio, kind enough to give us a few minutes before he's got some travel coming up today. Live on your flagship home for the Nationals, Grant and Danny with you on 106.7. The Fan will continue chatting with the new president of baseball operation tasked with getting the Nats back to the postseason. Paul Toboni with us on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Hey, Paul, it's Will Dawkins with the Washington Wizards. Congrats. We are all super excited to welcome you, your wife, and the boys to the DMV. you will soon learn that DC is a passionate sports town with a knowledgeable, supportive, and caring fan base. We're all pulling for you, man. Best of luck to you and the staff as you work to build out your vision. Go Nats!
Hey, Paul. This is Chris Patrick with the Caps. Welcome to DC, and congrats, man, on an awesome opportunity for you, and I'm sure very exciting times for your family. Best fans in the world here in the DMV, and I'm sure they're very excited to have you on board and ready to see the next chapter in the Washington Nationals. So best of luck, and we'll be following you.
Hey, Paul, this is Adam Peters with the Commanders. I want to welcome you and your family to the DMV. I know you guys will love it here. It's an awesome sports town. It's great to have another Bay Area guy in town as well, man. So look forward to welcoming you. Look forward to connecting soon, man. Best of luck to you, and we'll see you soon. Go Nats.
I didn't even think about the Bay Area connection between you and Adam Peters, but he's shouting that out.
Not so bad.
There you go. All the GMs in town welcoming you to D.C., cheering on the Nats. There's good synergy between the teams, I think you'll find. Obviously, you'll have no problem getting tickets to any games, right? But we got to get you out and get you to some of these games. They'll be supporting the Nats, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for it. I was telling my kids the other day, I grew up a big Niner fan. I knew Adam a little bit when he was with the Niners, but now we're going full send on the Commanders, so we're ready to roll.
Love that. Yeah, because they'll grow up here, right? The kids will, so they won't know anything else. I love that.
We got to get them some gear. I know they have their new Nats jersey, so what is that like? I'd imagine when you're a player and you have kids, it's very similar. But they're all Boston all the time, right? And now you're at the press conference. I'm just trying to think. We both have four very young kids. Is your oldest around six as well?
He's six, yeah.
Okay, so six and under. I'm just trying to think about, like, hey, everything I've been telling you about the Red Sox for, like, all these years, now it's the Nationals. That would just not go that well. Like, how is that transition even going at this point?
Yeah, they've flipped the page quicker than I thought they
Amazing.
Would have. Yeah, so it was funny. Like, I throw BP in the street to my six-year-old, and a couple weeks ago it was like him being Alex Bregman or Trevor Story or whoever, and now it's James Wood or Dalen Lyle or Dylan Cruz or whoever. So, and that's him. That's not me. So he's flipped the script pretty quickly.
That's really awesome. Neat. And over the course of your career, I'm always curious about stuff like this. You obviously got a lot right. That's why you're sitting in the chair that you're sitting in. What's something you got wrong, and what did you learn from it?
Man, great question. Why I'm struggling answering this, because I think there are too many things that I got wrong. I think when you are young and probably immature, you come into the game thinking you have a lot of the answers, right? And you probably shouldn't be talking as much as you are listening, right? And there are little moments along the way that I think back and I cringe, like, God, you had no idea what you were talking about, and you were pretty quick to voice an opinion. But that's just in a general sense. I think I think there are a number of other topics that I could hit on, but probably a little bit nuanced for the fans that are listening. So.
Paul Toboni with us on G&D. So at your press conference, you may have forgotten this, but we're going to remind you, not for anything that you need to know, but just because we need to acknowledge that one of our producers, Ryan, went over there on behalf of the Grant and Danny radio program. You wouldn't know his name's Ryan because he introduced himself. I think he called you Ryan and called himself Paul. We're going to play the audio for you and just take you down memory lane here really quickly.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, Paul. Ryan from 106.7, the fan there. So looking around baseball, obviously, a lot of
teams don't need to
hear
the question. It was a great question, in fairness. You did a good job with the question. 106.7 the fan there, so there is here. This
there.
Is 106.7.
We're here now.
We're still not really sure why he said there, but this is what he meant. I think four blocks that way. So you found it. So good job, based on his directions. Do you remember him calling you Ryan and calling himself Paul?
I do remember it. Yeah, and and man, I follow some of Ryan's work now, and I've gone back and looked. And
let's
he does,
go.
He does
by
awesome
the way, we
work.
Won't hear the end of so, that. That's tough.
Yeah, yeah. No, he does awesome
that
work.
That blew up on our face a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, that's damn it.
Yeah, he Ryan lifting him up. He's, yeah. Ryan belongs. He needs to know he belongs to
you. Know, locked on Nationals, man.
That's
locked
right.
on Nationals.
Yeah.
So when he came back, what we found out and we didn't know was that the day before he and Toby are talking, and he tells Toby, he's like, I got to think of a good question for tomorrow, for Toboni. And Toby's like, all right, like, you know, let's workshop.
Let's brainstorm
these.
It. Yeah.
And apparently Clary says, and I quote, I want to do something memorable.
Mission accomplished, buddy.
Yeah,
you pulled it off. He told me, he's like, I'm going to make sure that Paul remembers me. And then little did he know he was going to do that. And by the way, Paul, I need to make sure Bustin' Loose Baseball is the podcast you want to listen
yes,
to for
that's
Nationals.
The premier
that's
Nationals
the premier,
podcast.
Yeah, if you're grading. Yeah,
or listen to none of them is actually probably your best subscription moving forward. But Yeah, he said he wants to do something memorable, and then that's how the press conference went.
So it was memorable.
It worked out, right?
Yeah, he did it. He executed.
It wasn't the plan. It was something that I said I was going to do, and then like we were actually kind of joking beforehand, like, oh, this is going to be the time. Then, of course, I say, hey, Ryan. And I'm like, oh, gosh. And everyone just looks at me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. His kids look behind me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is bad.
At least you got a good pop from the owner, Mark Lerner. He liked what he heard, I think.
Oh, yeah, he loved it.
So if you ever see Ryan, you feel free to just call him Paul.
Just Paul him, yeah.
We call him Paul. We ask him questions like, hey, big offseason coming up. What are your plans? We like to get to the bottom
And he's tipping his hand for the offseason plan, by the way.
Giving us some nuggets, right? All right, so managerial search. Let's get serious for a second. What is the timeline on that search? I know there's some oddities with the baseball calendar when you can actually make announcements, but are you interviewing anyone yet, or where are we at in that?
No, so I've had conversations with Miguel and the rest of our major league staff, and as it relates to Miguel, like I've told him that he's going to be a candidate as part of a more extensive search, and that extensive search hopefully is going to kick off here soon. And here's the deal with these managerial searches: as I've learned over the years, you want them to move really quickly, right? But you got teams in the playoffs. There's this whole permissions process with Major League Baseball, like it usually drags on a little bit longer than you'd like. So we're going to try and move on it quickly, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, it takes a little bit longer than we might hope.
What are you looking for in the next manager, and is previous experience important?
I'll answer the latter half of that first. So previous experience, like to me, it's not the end all be all, but I think it's a feather in your cap, right? It matters. Like having gone through it before, I think helps, right? And that's not necessarily like previous experience as a major league manager, right? Like experience can come in a number of different shapes and sizes. It can be a minor league manager. It can be a major league bench coach. It can be, you know, front office experience, right? Like all that experience is important, obviously. What are you looking for? Like, you're probably sick of me saying this now, but I think it starts with the quality of the human being, right? And just making sure that the values that person holds sacred are the values that I hold sacred. And to me, if you get that right, and you get someone that, you know, is open-minded and humble and all those things, like the X's and O's you can figure out, you know what I mean? So it starts there, and then I think that probably takes up 70%+ of it. And then it really gets into, some of the more nuanced things, how to get the most out of, each individual on the roster, on the staff, how to create a winning culture that we're talking about, where players are holding themselves accountable and holding others accountable, those type things.
How much does the makeup of the ball club potentially influence that? In other words, let's say for the sake of argument, you got a young team where nobody's over 25 and they need to learn on the job. That screams, I need a developer here, versus a team with a bunch of guys in their mid-30s that's one last ride for it. You need a guy that's managing personalities and not turnkey necessarily, but just sort of keeping everybody happy, giving veteran days off, et cetera. How much does the makeup of the ball club kind of influence who you're looking for to lead it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, does it matter? Yeah, it matters, and it's something in the back of my mind. At the same time, the makeup of our ball club is going to look different a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years
sure.
from now. And, my strong expectation is that this manager is going to be it. But at the same time, I do think it's something that should come into consideration.
Is your thought that in the newer school way of games are sometimes managed before they start, and then the manager's like a 21-hour-a-day managing people person? Is like, in other words, do you plan on the front office having a lot of input on how games are managed, or are you you're the skipper, man, do your thing?
No, I think more than anything, it's like, I think it starts with like alignment from the get-go, right? Like if you trust how the person thinks through, whether it's creating a lineup or, you know, whatever else, like making in-game decision making, like all that, like, no, that's your decision, right? That said, the same way I do in my role, right? That role, you carry a burden, right? And that burden is when you make certain moves or you have the lineup constructed a certain way, right? Like, I think you should be able to, you know, have rationale as to why, right? And the same way, you know, I should have rationale as to, you know, why we selected a player in the draft or made a free agency decision, right? That said, you do not want to create an environment where, like, a manager is worried about making a particular move because, like, he hears this voice in his ear of, like, hey, is Paul going to ask me about this, right? Like, there should be such a level of trust and built, such a great relationship where that concern isn't there. And really, it's just like full trust that the person's going to execute it in line with how you think about it. Are you going to agree on every decision? No, that's okay, though. I think that's part of the dynamic.
Paul Toboni, president of baseball ops with the Nats, a couple of moments left with us on a busy day for him. This core, what attracted you about this group? I mean, James Wood has a chance to be a superstar, but there's some young talent on this team. What do you see when you look at it from outside?
Yeah, I think it's really easy to point to the on-field stuff and how great these guys are as baseball players, right? But the more I dug into it, coming into it, just seems like we have some really quality people. And it was something that we placed a huge emphasis on in Boston, just making sure that the quality of people we're bringing into the organization, players, like the amateur players, is really, really high. And because at the end of the day, like that winning culture that I'm talking about, that is going to be driven by the players, right? And if you have players that aren't in on creating that winning culture, it's going to be really tough to create it, right? On the contrary, if you get folks that are completely bought in to creating that culture, you're going to have a lot easier time doing it. So that was a big draw for me, a number of young, talented players that carry those traits.
Will you have the budget that you need to do what you want?
Yeah, like I said, you know, this seat is different than the one I was sitting in the presser, but I'm in it for a reason, right? And ownership has made it clear that, you know, they're going to support it and that I'm going to feel supported. I already feel supported. And I'll say, too, like that doesn't just come in the form of major league payroll, right? That comes in the form of like making sure that our infrastructure throughout the organization is in a really strong place. And like I said, I feel supported.
Could that come in the form of like a Trajectart machine and some other technology too, maybe?
Yeah, I know that's.
Do we need to start a GoFundMe, or you like how we, yeah. Can we pull that off this year? You think
we obviously had it in Boston. I think you know, a lot of the teams in Major League Baseball have it. Unbelievable tool. It carries a lot of you know, attention for whatever reason in the media.
Here it's like the symbolic nature of like what we didn't have, right? So I think the Post did a really good story on it and was like, here's a thing the Nationals don't have that people want. And so just so you know, like it's going to come up a bunch because it's like, that's the face on, there have been a lot of years where it seems like, hey, we want some biomechanics plates and maybe eventually you get some biomechanics, you know what I mean? So yeah. Like, that's the thing right now when we hear they don't have that, it's just like, that's how you give a voice to almost like, we'd like to get with the times a little bit.
Yeah.
And obviously you're here to help do that.
Yeah. And what I would say to that is like, you know, just remove the name Traject for a second, right? Like, are the dollars spent on, you know, coming onto a Traject, like, is it better to use those dollars on something like a Traject or technology, you know, or some sort of player development resource like that, or in free agency, or, you know, something else, right? And that's how we're going to think through the decisions. And if like the best way to use those dollars is on a player development resource like that, like, heck yeah, let's do it.
Where will the rubber meet the road in terms of your development philosophy versus somebody maybe saying, a player maybe saying, well, this is how I've done it, right? Like, how do you, I don't want to say cookie cutter because there's a negative connotation there, but this is how the Nationals do it. I mean, I remember forever ago, I'm much older than you, but you heard about the Dodger way or the Cardinal way or the Oriole way. That's how they develop prospects, period, end of story. How much is that, hey, these are non-negotiables versus if you've got your own way of doing plyometrics or jumping on rope ladders or whatever, you can do that, but .. Draw me that kind of parallel.
Yeah, so I have found that the wrong approach to take is shoving it down players' throats, like, hey, this is what we're doing, you better do it,
yeah.
Right? To me, the far more effective way is, once again, like pouring yourself into educating the player as to like, hey, this is what we're planning on doing. This is why we're doing it. Here's how it's going to get you a lot better. I talked about that cascading buy-in in the press conference, right? Like the buy-in just comes day after day after day because they're looking up and they're looking at their numbers or whatever it is. And we're showing them the scoreboard, so to speak. And they go from sitting 88 miles per hour to 88.5 to 89. And they're like, they get that feedback like, wow, this is working, right? And so then they double down on the type work, right? And, you know, if we do that across all spaces, like, my experience is that if we have the right people in the building and they carry the right values, they'll get to a spot where it's like there's just really good alignment because there's trust that we're caring for each other and we're looking out for each other in the process.
So what's next for you? I know you get to fly home now. You get to spend a little time with the fam, couple of days, and get back after it. Like where are you at in kind of your schedule now?
Yeah, no, I'll still be working. It'll be good to be back in Boston for a quick minute to spend time with wife and kids.
And I'm sure your kids understand like mine when you're working from home. to just never to bug
alone.
You.
Don't bother
come
Dad.
Come over to you. Yeah. Just, we're getting some stuff done today. They're very cool about that. I bet.
Yeah. They're especially their ages and the fact that they're boys. Like they get it. Yeah, 6'5" and 3 and 1. They get it. So no, it's about as far down the other side of the spectrum as you could imagine.
Right.
But you'll be able to work from the house a little bit and keep chopping wood. Get to spend some time with them.
Yeah, you got it. And you know, I'll be on a lot of calls and just once again trying to push us forward in any way we can. So
well, we're excited, man. This is
we're pumped, man.
A breath of fresh air. People are really fired up and behind you and pumped up. So best of luck to you. If you need anything over at the station, you know where to find us. We're 4 blocks away. There's some delicious places to eat lunch in the neighborhood. Danny and I have scouting reports on all of them at this point.
It. I'm going to take you guys up on that.
And easy to remember, we're all just named Paul, just to kind of keep it straight.
Bunch of Pauls in
just
here.
Just a bunch of Pauls.
If you need some 2080s on any of these restaurants, you let us know.
I will.
All right.
Appreciate it, guys.
Paul Taboni is your president of baseball operations on Grant and Danny. Very kind to hang out with today on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Thanks again to Paul Taboni, the president of baseball operations with the Washington Nationals. I've got to imagine you're a few days in, still trying to learn everyone in the organization. He's making sweeping changes. Yesterday, we found out a lot of the members of the org who have been here a long, long time, including two of the assistant general managers. Mark Schilabo, who's been here since, I think, 2006, and Eddie Longos, who's been here in a full-time capacity since 2011, are out, among others. You're drinking through a fire hose, and you're trying to get to the bottom of still a bunch of things. So it seems like the plan is still coming together more so than he knows exactly the direction they're going in. So I didn't ask him the specifics. I had a couple of things jotted down about C.J. Abrams defensively and if he stays at shortstop and Mackenzie Gore this offseason. And it just seemed like he wasn't in a place where he was willing to answer a lot of those things. But I thought we got some really, really good insight on some of the paradigm and philosophical ways of going about baseball that he plans to bring to this organization. I thought that was the value there, and a great conversation with him.
Yeah, absolutely. You could see the reason that he got the gig. It bursts off the screen or through the air or what, you know, however you want to talk about it. But to me, this is still the phase of I'm making decisions on the people that are going to help me make the decisions, right? In terms of like, what are we going to do with, for example, to get specific, CJ Abrams, is he going to stay at shortstop long-term or should we investigate something else? That decision probably hasn't been made yet because the people that are going to be evaluating it and weighing in that room, think of like Moneyball when they kind of get together to figure out how they're going to replace Giambi, that room hasn't been assembled yet. They're still working on that to kind of that point. So that's putting the cart before the horse. But you hear the philosophical things and that I like, there's not, what you find a lot of times in pro sports is I came up this way, this is how I do it. And that's it. There's no flexibility there. Like there's certain intractables. There's certain things that have to happen. You got to be a hard worker. You got to buy in. You got to be, you know, willing to work and this, that, and the other. But in terms of, I don't necessarily want to be a pitching team, a speed team, a bullpen team, a home run team, whatever. Wherever the market leads you, wherever your own kind of internal players coming up, however they perform is going to lead you to certain directions. You're not going to pass on Trey Turner because he's not Kyle Schwarber, and vice versa. You're not going to pass on Kyle Schwarber because he's not Trey Turner. I don't want to pick two Phillies. I'm just thinking of former Nats. those kind of dichotomies, I think you can make there's a million different ways to make a baseball team work. Same way with football, same way with basketball, whatever. And that flexibility, given the market, given the constraints that maybe still with ownership, we don't know how much they're really going to spend. We've got all the, you know, as many assurances as we can get at this point. It's still refreshing to hear that there's a flexibility there. It's not just any kind of, this is how we do it.
The key is going to be commitment from ownership and really recommitment, because there was a time during that window from 12 to 19 when there were five playoff appearances and there was a World Series run and a championship in 2019 where the payroll was high, where they did commit dollars to players and to other areas. And he clearly expects that that is going to be the case. We heard this offseason that when Mike Rizzo was ready to spend, they would be willing to spend. I guess that means that, at least according to ownership, maybe, he wasn't asking for big-time money to go out and go get players the last couple of offseasons. I had kind of heard there were guys that they liked and they weren't able to go get. Christian Walker and other names kept coming up and popping up. But maybe after another really disappointing season, and frankly the worst of the years that they've had since the World Series, 66 and 96. They've had a worse record back in 2022 and by a game in 21, but this was by far the most kick to the stomach, regressive, just bad year since the World Series where you didn't meet expectations, and it's why jobs were lost by Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo.
That's right.
But you just hope that ownership now says, okay, well, this isn't working because attendance is down and people are checking out and less people are caring. And this is too good of a town with too many baseball and sports fans. We've seen what the ballpark looks like when they're playing playoff games and everyone's just throwing random drinks in the air because Juan Soto just got a hit into the outfield against the Brewers to take an eighth inning lead. Let's make sure that we field a winner. And hopefully they get back to trying to do that.
Yeah, and not to be flippant about it, but this is an organization that doesn't have, you know, 120 years of tradition like the Yankees or the Cubs. I mean, that 30 plus years without baseball in this town did more damage sort of cascading through generations. And if you've got kids that came up, like my youngest son does not remember the World Series. Not youngest, he's seven. He's the middle son now. So I have to get used to that. He's doesn't remember the World Series. All he's seen, he doesn't want to go to Nats games. When I'm like, hey, do you want me to take you and your buddies to a Nats game? No, has no interest because they've been terrible his entire sentient life.
Which is something, by the way, that Toponi mentioned in his presser. Didn't come up in our conversation, but one of my favorite things about his presser last week was talking about wanting kids to fall in love with this team. But to his point, there is a generation now that is being lost if you don't start to field a competitive, fun team to go watch.
And that's the point.
And it's a shame because there are so many good young players. Your kid would love to see. I mean, my little guy's wearing a James Wood t-shirt today when I left the house, and he loves Dylan Cruz, and he's all in on Jacob Young and Dalen Lyle and some of these pieces. There is young, fun talent on that ball club. Speaking of people who helped mold and shape young sports fans, Ed McCaffrey, the son of Christian and Luke in the National Football League and a former legendary wide receiver. He joins us next to talk football on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.